This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, Cajun Cannon, there was a lot of some good, some bad, and a lot of ugly in this 27-13 preseason matchup for the Saints losing to the L.A. Chargers. Your initial thoughts as we hear the Cajun Cannons rant?
Well, it doesn't matter if it's a preseason game or a regular season game that, you know, it's pros versus pros. You got to protect the football and you got to take it away. I mean, you don't think it makes a difference, but when all said and done, how a Jim Harbaugh team will play. You know, they won 11 games last year. And when you look at the 11 games, even though they had Justin Herbert, it wasn't because they were doing anything offensively. They had the number one scoring defense, giving up 17.5 points a game, which was first in the NFL. Well, today, well, we had 13. So, you know, look at their winning formula. A total defense, they end up being number 7 in the NFL. They were top 10 against the run in the pass. But more importantly, because I talked about the turnover margin, they were plus 12 last season in turnover margin. We were minus 6. So just look at the records. Something as simple as that. Now, the Chargers have played two preseason games because they played in the Hall of Fame game. You know why they waxed the Lions?
Turnovers.
The Lions had 5 turnovers. I don't know. I looked today. What was the turnover margin? Saints minus 2. I don't care whether you're fumbling the ball, you throw an interception. So they had 1 turnover. We had 3.
Right. They're muff punts.
So, yeah. And they, I don't know how they got that second one. They should have had, I don't know how we didn't land on that ball.
Bad luck.
Yeah. That guy ain't running, returning no punts anymore. you might have to go do something else. But when I look at something as simple as that, and you want to know, like an outcome of the game, and when he, you know, because the preseason games don't count. And then you can go 4-0. The Saints one season, I think, went 4-0 and was garbage in the regular season. And you can go 0-4. The team that I know that has had success in the preseason and they win is the Baltimore Ravens and John Harbaugh. But other than that, I mean, I don't know if you're just playing hard and you're getting better. Now, we got to get better against the Jaguars. You want to get better against the Broncos heading into that first game against the Cardinals to give yourself a chance to win. But this is not good. We can't tell because in practice they don't tackle, damn it. So you don't know who's tackling who. Oh, I would have got him. Saw a couple of times where maybe they bounced out. We didn't have containment. And they had a big run. Now this needs to be reversed. We average 3.1 yards a carry. They average 4.4.
Boo.
So that's 4.5 to 3, basically. So we need to average that 4.5 a run. That's going to help our young quarterbacks, and our defense has to be more stout against the run. Now you might say, well, Bobby, take away the quarterback runs. Why take away the quarterback runs? Don't that count? You don't think Kyler Murray or the Cardinals might? I think he can run a little bit. It's like a June bug. You know, he's going everywhere. We're looking at Trey Lance. He had 7 carries, 7-yard average. You know, 6.9. So that's 7 yards. That's too much. He had a long gain of 17 a couple of times. He ended up scoring a touchdown on a run. And then he made first downs with his feet. I think overall, when you look at it, this is a mixed bag. They end up being 6 of 14 on third down, 43%. I thought we'd have been better than that, considering that we had in the game, I don't know if this one you think your defense is really kicking ass. We had 3 straight 3-and-outs.
That was a positive.
Yeah, a glass half full. 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 3-and-out. So the offense got to take advantage of those kind of scenarios. We end up forcing 5 3-and-outs in the game. So I'm like thinking, well, that, but they end up being a 6 of 14. Now, we as offense, that's not good. And you ain't winning anything. You're not having sustained drives. We are 3 of 13, 23%. I'm not saying you got to be Drew Brees-like and be 50%. You might say, well, Bobby, how do you know so much about third down? I led a team in 1992. We were first in the NFL, 48.5% third down conversions. I don't care if you're conservative or not. Can you move the chains? First down, Saints. You know, all I know, 3 and 13, I don't care who's playing quarterback. That's not getting it. Sometimes I think you want to hit those chunk plays. But like even at the end, when Haener came in and he threw that that interception, that, okay, we're losing by 10 points. Left to fight another day. Hit the check down, then you're still in field goal range, and you make the, not the kicker, you got to make it. You make the field goal, then you're only down by one score.
Correct.
Versus all of a sudden, you look, it's 27-10 or whatever. And then you have no chance. Those are the little things that I think as a quarterback, you need to mature, get to that point. I was kind of worried at halftime. I talked about this. And we got to be more disciplined. You can't be having 5 penalties in a half. We had 5. These are guys we're counting on in the first half. Now, we end up finishing good. We were 5 penalties for 36 yards. You know what I'm saying? You're never going to have 9 penalties or more or hovering around 100 yards. We were better in the second half because we only had 2 penalties. We ended up 7 for 56. That's acceptable. Now, they only had 4 for 18, but we had 5 for 56 considering we had 7 for 56 considering we had 5 for 36 yards in that first half. So when you look at the positives and negatives, when I look at like who really contributed at a high level, and this is Alvin Kamara's stat, because you look at like total yards from scrimmage, you know, whether as a running back or as a receiver or return yardage, you know where we're outstanding? Our kick return game. Coach Galliano, you got to give him a lot of credit, because you got a different boss now. Now it's the same scheme. But looking at Kendre Miller, he had a 36-yard kick return. That's winning football. Look at Velus Jones Jr. He had a long kick return of 46. So when I combine what they did rushing, catching, and those returns, Velus Jones Jr. had 88 yards total, and Kendre Miller had 60. Now, Velus Jones Jr., Steve, the way he's been running in practice,
yeah.
Not
I
only had one
a lot more.
He had minus 1 yards. I'm like, what? You know,
none of the running backs were getting it.
Yes, he wants to maybe hit a big play. Like Spencer Rattler ended up leading the team with 7.3. Kendre Miller, 2.5. No. Now, like Deuce says, too, they got to block for him. You got to give him a hole. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 1.5 yards. No. Again, I don't know from last year. We got new coaches and all that. And I looked at it. Are we running the football? Are we stopping the run? I would say no.
No to both.
When they average in 4.5 and we average, they average in 4.5 and we average in 3.
Run game, both sides of the ball, a problem still.
Yeah, so that has to be addressed. Hopefully, it's a better picture going against Jacksonville come next Sunday, and then obviously to close out the season on Saturday against the Broncos before we have to face the Cardinals when it all counts to kick off the season. Now, I thought Tyler Shuck handled adversity. I've been there. A pick 6, a cornerback squatting, they cheat, and you can't let them cheat. That's why we end up getting the touchdown to Tipton, a double move. You can't let him squat. Squat means they're just sitting on a route, whether it's an inside or outside breaking route. And especially in the NFL, no, you will give up pick sixes. And that's why you cannot let them just sit on routes. You have to double move them. Now you have to have longer protection when you're doing a double move route. And the one that Tipton, look how wide open he was. Because the damn cornerback for the Chargers, he's trying to cheat. That's why he got burnt. And he got burnt. Tipton had that one catch, 54 yards for a touchdown, and he could fly. So good for the coaches and the play call to help Shuck out to be able to have that kind of play, considering he had threw an interception before that. And I thought, overall, I mean, it's a mixed bag. I don't know. It's like a roller coaster for all the quarterbacks, whether it's Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck, or Jake Haener. Now, Shuck ended up being 15 of 22 for 165 yards. I think he did settle down. He had that one chunk play, like I said, to Tipton. Rattler was 11 of 7. But even your pocket presence, how, and you know, when they coming in there, and you might say, well, Bobby, Jesus said then done, that you cannot fumble. And Spencer Rattler's done this before, fumbling in the pocket. And you got to be able to protect that football. He has to avoid that. Now, I think Haener sometimes, he's tough. He has moxie. But sometimes he tries to make too many big plays where, like, remember I told you, take the dump off, get the field goal instead of getting that interception on the latter part of the game. And when you look at it, I mean, that's how you stand out. I mean, I don't know. Who's this Rodgers guy for them? From Rutgers?
Yes.
I mean, you don't think that catches the coach's eye? You have two interceptions, three passes defended, and you make a tackle on special teams? That's what you're trying to do no matter who you're playing for, to have that kind of outcome and to catch the coach's attention. Looking at Cedric Wilson Jr. and then Austin. Austin ended up having four catches and 42 yards, long gain 17. Cedric Wilson, three catches, 37 yards. So I can tell you right now what I look at. These three people have to stay healthy or we ain't even winning five games. We don't have a chance. We need Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and right now tight end Juwan Johnson. They have to be healthy. You might say, oh, Bobby, next man up. Oh, well, no. I'm just telling you right now. And then, Steve, I've been bragging on him. The tight end, he's been catching.
Jack Stahl.
Jack Stahl's been catching everything in practice, then he decides to drop it in the game. Come on, dude. And you're fighting your behind off. This is your fifth year. You're a veteran. You know, he's coming over from the Dolphins, and he's been catching everything. But when it counts in the game, that's when for sure you cannot afford a drop because that's your drive killer. So now instead of having a first down moving the chains, you have to punt. So I'm just looking at our weapons. Where are we at offensively? I think the backs will come along and help, Alvin Kamara. But as far as our top two receivers and tight end, I'm just telling you, I think those guys are going to have to stay healthy. Or it could, I don't know, it could be a long season. But look at the glass. It's only one preseason game. You have to look at, the glass half full instead
building
of half
blocks,
empty.
Right.
Yeah, and, you got to have somewhat patient. Now, how you can be patient is like, okay, I'm not saying we got to beat the Jaguars, but we have to look a little bit better than we did against the Chargers.
A lot cleaner. Cut down the turnovers.
Yeah,
cut down the penalties.
How about we be plus two? How about we play the Jaguars and we create three takeaways and maybe give it up once? You know, those little things can be the difference whether you win or lose. Now, as far as guys contributing and trying to make the team, I think you were right on. When you gave this diamond in the rough.
Isaiah.
I don't know if you can find
not
a better.
Foskey, but Stolberg.
Yeah, Isaiah. Foskey. Foskey still don't contain. He missed a couple of tackles. Anyway, I'm not going to get on Foskey today. But you look at Isaiah Stolberg, South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits. I tell you what, he had a special teams game that I don't think he could do this every game. He'd be all pro. He would be a combination of Chris Banjo and JT Gray.
Hello.
Hey, all pro. He had four tackles. You know how hard it is to get four tackles in one special teams game? If you times that, times 17.
And then his tackle for loss, he laid a lick.
Yeah, you're all pro. So he had three unassisted special teams tackles, one assisted. If you look, he had four combined tackles. He had a tackle for loss. So that catches the coach's eye, a lot of attention. You know who hasn't caught the coach's eye as far as in practice? And I know they're counting on him because they drafted him, when you look at it, in the fifth round, Jalen Ford from Texas.
Right. When we talked to Deuce pregame, though, he did say those L.A. sessions, he was starting to wake up a bit.
Wake up a bit.
Maybe that California air.
Because he looks the part. He looks like Tarzan.
Sure,
he looks like Tarzan will play like Tarzan. You know, look, he stepped up. He had eight total tackles, so good for him being active. Now, another one that was more active compared to we took notes in New Orleans. Well, now, this is the diamond in the rough. This is like the Zach Streif, Marcus Colston. Bobby, what are you talking about? No, this cat was drafted in the seventh round. I don't know now how could he – if you're a seventh-round pick, he's not going to start. But can he provide the depth that maybe contribute on special teams? If you look at – how do you say his first
Fidel.
Name? Fidel.
Fidel Diggs, yeah.
Like Fidel Castro?
There you
but,
go.
Okay, that's how I remember that. Okay, Fidel Diggs.
Nice day.
Look at that. 6'4", 257, the rookie out of Syracuse, drafted in the seventh round. That would be honorable mention. Okay, I give Stallbird, diamond in the rough. We're going to give Diggs honorable mention. He had four total tackles, a sack, and two tackles for a loss. Now, this cat got ripped off. I like him because he played good. I think I could see him being a part of the rotation with the Saints or some other team, and that being Christian Boyd.
Yeah.
You know how I'll always remember Christian Boyd, too? Because at times I'm saying he's the real player from Northern Iowa. Not, you know, Trevor Penning. But Trevor Penning, what, he got hurt? I mean, that's like, come on, Trevor. He got that one holding. That was holding. You can't throw the guy to the ground. They're going to call that all the time.
So yeah, got injury holding. And a penalty today.
Yeah. And so the real Northern Iowa player today was Christian Boyd. If you look at, he ended up with a sack. I thought that should have been a safety. But I guess if you're starting to make contact on like the half-yard line, the one-foot line, I guess they look at the forward progress. But we could have been winning 2-0. You remember last year we went out to the L.A. playing the Chargers. Then Taysom Hill influenced a punt or something. We were up 2-0 in that game. But Christian Boyd ended up having a quarterback hurry. He had a sack. And he also had a tackle for loss. So when you look at his contribution and where he's at, I mean, look, here's a guy drafted in the sixth round. That's kind of a diamond in the rough. That 6'2", 320. So could he be in that rotation to back up Godshaw? You know, and can you count on? Well, that's the kind of games you have to have. So those are those up-and-coming players that really it bode well for the Saints. You know, you got to see it. You know how the coaches say, well, I'll see it in practice, and I want to see it in a game? Well, that'd be the perfect example for Mason Tipton. So Mason Tipton, now, can you build upon this and maybe come up big time instead of a big chunk plays, like maybe three or four, a handful of receptions come playing against the Jaguars or Jacksonville or the Broncos before we kick off the season? But again, the score doesn't matter. 27-13, I know it looks ugly, like, oh, the Saints must have got whooped. I look more in the fundamentals of football and how we have to get better, and Coach Staley needs to demand this. And all runs count. Quarterback runs count. We got to be able to stop the run and being able to run the football, and that's winning up front. And I'm still concerned with the depth on the offensive line and what's going to come about there. Because the better offensive line plays, the better offensive line play, I should say, that we get, our quarterbacks will play better. I think they'll learn to be productive quarterbacks to be able to lead this team.
Taking a break here on The Point After. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon on our WWL talk and text line. It's 504-260-1870. Stepping away and be back with even more of The Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome back into The Point After with the Cajun Cannon, folks. You can sound off on our WWL Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. We got a bunch of calls lined up. Want to hit Steve in Monterey talking about the Saints. What you got for us today, Steve?
Hey, guys. I'm going to say what nobody else wants to say, which is this. Cesar Ruiz, is that guy starter material? Didn't he get owned today? What's going on with that guy? How much is he paid to basically kill the quarterback?
Oh, that, Steve, that is a great point because I don't know. We've looked at him one-on-one pass protection in training camp, and he's gotten better. Now, because he went Brian Brzee, who led the Saints in sacks 7.5. Remember the couple of refs he had against him? I want to say maybe Nate Shepard. But I guess it might be who you're going against. Well, today, Cesar Ruiz got whooped on a pass rush. You cannot beat a weak link. Right now, we're counting on Cesar Ruiz because he is a veteran, not necessarily be as good as McCoy, the center, but you got to be like 1 and 1A. You can't be a liability. So, no, I agree with you, Steve. That's a bunch of crap, Cesar Ruiz getting beat like that. You know you should be a lineman, and everybody knows this. You should never talk about him. Almost maybe at the point of the tag. Did you see him smash that individual? Or when do you talk about him? Even they got a stupid holding penalty, what the fans describe. Come on, you can't tackle him or like you just got whooped. But if they're doing their job, Steve, you very seldom talk about a lineman. So, listen, Cesar Ruiz, if we're going to have a dominant offensive line, considering we got and I said this in the pregame, us and the Chargers are the only two teams out of 32 that got four of the five linemen that were drafted in the first round potential starters. Now, the Chargers lost Slater, the highest paid tackle. But I'm just saying that's how what you invest in, whatever you invest in as far as draft capital and who you want to build your team, the Cesar Ruiz, according to how we drafted and what we want to establish with this team, Cesar Ruiz got to be dominant. I'm not saying he has to be as dominant as McCoy. So let's say McCoy's in top five centers. Well, Cesar Ruiz needs to be top 10 guards. You can't be like...
No, we're just not saying that.
And you can't be like, oh, well, he does pretty good. Him, Archer, oh, they do pretty good against the run. But they can't be getting their ass kicked in pass protection because that's right in the quarterback's face. And that happened right at the beginning of the game. That's a good point, Steve, that we're counting on Cesar Ruiz, and he can't have those kind of plays. Sorry, much is given, much is required, and we have to demand that from him. Steve, you got anything else?
No, that was it. I mean, I just don't understand it. He's got to be held accountable. And
right.
his team is not going to go anywhere with this guy basically getting the quarterback killed, you know?
Yeah, so it stands out because, you know, at the beginning, a new season, at the beginning of the game, and a lot of those guys could be playing on Sunday. You know, not everybody like Alvin Kamara and all went in the game, but a lot of those guys we're counting on the whole season. And then it's magnified, especially when you don't set the tone from the get-go. And that's what happened on that particular pass play with Cesar Ruiz.
Thanks for joining the Point After, Steve. You can call in, too, on our WWL talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Taking a break. Be back with even more of the Point After. Stay tuned after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Want to hear from you on our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Going to go out to Hollywood and Thibodeau. What you got for us today, Hollywood? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Surviving. All right, Hollywood. So what do you think of the game? Kind of ho-hum, kind of what you expected or what?
Well, it's practice, so I'm going to start off with that. But we got to stop the run. And we got to learn how to run the football better. That's going to make us a better team in time of possession and everything. But, Bobby, the most thing I was impressed with the young guys we got on this roster, I'm going to need me a roster sheet to keep up with all these new faces that we have in the lineup, sitting on the bench. Do you know how many young guys they got on this team? I'm just asking.
Yeah, all the teams have young guys trying to make the roster. But a lot of guys, when you see on the stat sheet, that's not names that you necessarily familiar with. For instance, they're not starting off against the Cardinals unless somebody be hurt. Like I think Stutzman, the stud linebacker that we got from Oklahoma, he ended up with 3 tackles total, and he's basically in there instead of DeMario Davis. But like Jalen Ford, Diggs, Stallbird. That's all there to provide depth. They're competing with Nephi Sewell and those likes, or DeMarco Jackson. So that's why when you go, like Chris Rump would be a veteran. You look at Chris Rump, who was on the Chargers team, Brandon Staley is familiar with. Now, Chris Rump, number 98, he's a 5-year veteran. It ain't his first rodeo. But he got a number of snaps showing that, hey, I need to play in a Saints uniform. He ended up with a sack, quarterback hurry, a tackle for a loss. Isaac Yadin was a Saint, went to the 49ers, came back. He had three total tackles. But if you look at, like, even Quincy Riley, Broughton, they both had a couple of tackles. It was guys not necessarily that you're counting on in week one. Maybe contribute on special teams. Or are you plug and play? But, you know, as far as to say, no, that's who we're leaning upon. Like Umada, Ugo Amade. Okay, here's a guy that provides depth, but you don't want him starting more than 1 or 2 games in a season. You don't want him starting for a month and a half because he's going to be picked on. But he's a valuable, brings valuable experience. He had a one unassisted tackle, a tackle for loss, pass defending. And a special teams tackle. So Ugo Amade is the kind of guy, he's going into his 7th year. But he's never going to start for nobody. And the Saints like him because he brings stability, but nothing to write home about. The one who does not bring stability, and I don't know, Cam Jordan felt like he had to defend him, is Isaiah Foskey.
What was his stats today, Bobby?
Isaiah Foskey, they don't keep a stat where, 2 whiffs. He didn't even make the stat line. He didn't have an unassisted or assisted tackle, a quarterback hurry, a tackle for loss. So when I look at Isaiah Foskey, who the Saints, and that's, you'd have to say so far, he was drafted in the second round, 2023, out of sight, out of mind, going into his 3rd season. And I don't know if it's ever going to click. Because we even had a text about, Bobby, what about, what's up with Isaiah Foskey, that guy? He completely whiffed at a tackle and shows no signs of getting better. I think that's a good observation with him. And what we've seen, not only in practice where we don't really take notes on him, and then in a game when he actually has an opportunity to tackle, he whiffs. He don't make the tackle. So, I don't know, maybe I don't know. That's mind-boggling how he can be the all-time leading sack getter in Notre Dame history and then not produce at the NFL level. I mean, what did he do? You might say, oh, Bobby, maybe it's the scheme. Why? He's in a different scheme now. He had the Dennis Allen scheme, and now he's with Brandon Staley. I don't see any difference. Do you see any difference?
No, he might have to be someone else's problem, see if he develops. Maybe the change of scenery will help Isaiah Foskey out.
That would be the Marie Laveau curse if all of a sudden he goes to another damn team and they say, well, like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Sure. Where was that guy at?
Right. Taking a break here on The Point After. We'll be back with even more. Stay tuned after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Those are the numbers, 504-260-1870 to sound off on our text or talk line. Cajun Cannon, look at one of our text messages over here. Bobby, what do you think of the two punters today? They punted poorly, in my opinion. Maybe they need to bring Hayball back. William from Mississippi.
Well, I would say that whenever you're investigating the punters, now it all correlates how you're punting, like the net. Don't look at the gross. Now, because when I look at this, is almost like a first down. This is not good. Listen, Coach Galliano and Coach Rizzi, I know they pay attention to this. Their net punt was 44.2, and ours was 38.8. So you round that off to say 44 to 39. No, five. That's big. That's something. So you have to look at the net because you look at Scott, their punter had 48.3 yard average, two inside the 20. You know, I think they need to change that stat eventually. Put inside the 10 because punters are getting so accurate. Now, looking at Burnham, he had a 33.7 average. His longest punt was 38 yards. That's garbage. Now, you might say, well, Bobby, maybe the field position, you have to look at that. Inside the 20, he had a couple of them.
Right.
So as long as I'd have to look more, but as far as that average, and look at Kroger, now this is not net, this is gross, it was 46.3. He had a long punt of 52, and he had one inside the 20. So I'd have to do more homework on that. But I think look a lot of times for sure inside the 20, if not inside the 10, and always look at the net average. And you don't want to basically be giving up a first down. Say you punt it and your coverage units didn't quite get there. And, you know, I always say you all pro. If you're gaining like 14 yards of punt return, if you hit double digits, like Coach Galliano, whoever's returning punts for us, whether it be Rashid Shaheed or Peoples Jones or Pettis, you don't want, like in the return game, like Pettis. Okay, he had two punt returns. 8 yards. So he averaged 4 yards. His longest was a 6. Now, Peoples Jones, he had 2, but 17 yards total. His average 8.5. He had a long of 12. So, you know, that's a winning punt return. You want that double digits. So that's what you got to look at, the return game, and punting the ball or nuts covering it or in punt returns. But, yeah, that is still the competition. Hayball, because we're going to have a new punter. Hayball is like gone and because he was too inconsistent at times, even in practice. And you have to be almost like, you don't have to be perfect, but you can't be inconsistent in practice because then they don't really trust you in the games. So that's why I don't know who's going to win that job, either Burnup or Kroger. Two rookies, one from Alabama. And one from South Carolina.
So much was made about Burnup's hang time. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah, two SEC punters. So that'll be interesting to see how that unfolds because we need everything to work on our behalf. And, yeah, with Burnup, 6'6", 236, big individual. Mm-hmm. And so is Kroger, 6'3", 215, 213. So, but always look at the net. Like in the Jacksonville Jaguars game, I'll look at that net. But I know Coach Galliano said that'd be unacceptable. That basically, when you look at the Chargers net compared, you know, to the Saints, that's like 5 yards, and that's huge. And your net, if you're truly covering punts and you're punting well enough, but again, you want that to be 41, 42 yards plus and all that. But then you know what we didn't do, now this comes to mind, is in the first half, we don't take advantage of field position. Remember, all of a sudden, we get a turnover. We're on the 17-yard line. Did we get any points?
No, sir.
What? Now, I know if we went far on fourth down, we'd say, oh, we got to have at least 3 points. But we still, we plus one in the turnover margin to set the tone beginning of the game. We don't, it's still 0-0. I don't know. That's something that cannot occur.
Wasted opportunity.
Yes, that you have to get points. Now, ultimately, you want touchdowns. I look at right before the 17-yard line, we got to the 50-yard line. So that's why you can look at that net. You have to look at the field position and what occurs then. But I'm just saying overall, that net flipping the field, and it could be one less first down you got to get than your opponent to get in the scoring range. All those little things matter, and that's why the punters are crucial to today's game as far as if you're winning or losing.
Got any questions, comments, complaints for the Cajun Cannon about today's game? Saints falling 27-13 to the L.A. Chargers in their preseason opener. You can sound off on our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. We'll get to you. Stay tuned for even more of The Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into The Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. You can sound off on our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. One of our texters here, 7828. QB play looked pedestrian at best. That leads into our caller, Jason in Mississippi, also wanted to sound off on the QB situation. What you got for us tonight, Jay?
Well, I thought that, you know, the first two guys, obviously Rattler and Shook, they were more than pedestrian. I think it depends on who you got playing with you and up in the front line.
Right.
I did not appreciate Hayner's efforts today, but I know he was stuck in a situation that is tough. But out of the three, who do you think had the best performance? I know Schultz.
Oh, it's not even close. It's not even close.
Even credit, he threw two touchdowns.
He threw one touchdown, that being Tyler Shuck. But no, I look at, you're looking at how you're protecting the football. Well, Bob was saying he had an interception, he had a pick six. But I look at his quarterback rating. What are your yards per attempt? How you maybe pushing the ball? This is like basically long handoffs. Spencer Rattler was 11 of 7 for 53 yards, 4.8 yards an attempt, where Shuck was 7.5. And Rattler was supposed to be, I think they both have a good pocket presence at times where they could scramble. Rattler got sacked 3 times, and Shuck got sacked 2 times. Rattler was 7 for 11, 53 yards. Shuck ended up being 15 of 22, 165. So I would say his 86.5 quarterback rating, that's not like, oh, man, he was unbelievable. For his first game, I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. I could just see it. I don't know what's going to happen in the Jacksonville game if Shuck's going to play so well that he's going to end up starting against the Cardinals. But if I think the ebb and flow, how Cam's been going and where we're at, I could see that Spencer Rattler will start, and it's a great opportunity for him, but he will not finish the season. And I don't know if it'll be like middle of October or November, and then Shuck will end up being the quarterback. Because I'm telling you, my instincts tell me, because what they have invested in him, that Spencer Rattler, yeah, if he's playing well, hell yeah, he'll be in there. He's not going nowhere. But he has to really play well. He can't just have a performance like today, because Tyler Shuck is the future.
Right.
Whether you want to admit that or not, I'm just telling you, the Saints, they're going to go. And they think, I don't know, his stature. And you might say, oh, Bobby, look at Drew Brees. He wasn't no 6'4", 6'5", kind of guy. I'm just saying how they look at Tyler Shuck being 6'5", versus Spencer Rattler 6 feet with his cleats on. And all that kind of stuff. Now, again, if Spencer Rattler plays well from the get-go, he's gonna be the man. Spencer Rattler is an NFL quarterback. Is he going to be your franchise quarterback? They think Tyler Shuck has more of an opportunity to be their franchise quarterback than Spencer Rattler. That's just my opinion, which I look into the crystal ball in the future, I could see happening.
Thanks, Jason. With even more on the QB situation, Robbie, we got Ron in Madisonville on the line wanting to sound off as well. What you got here on The Point After tonight, Ron?
I'm just listening to what Bobby just said, and it's 100% accurate to what the way that I think that he's thinking. We have two great quarterbacks. We just don't know which one is actually going to be there.
Well, I don't know. Okay, wait. Now,
Ron.
Ron, you can't say great. We have two serviceable good quarterbacks. Now,
yeah.
Can we get great is like who's actually great, Joe Burrow or, you know, Pat Mahomes. You know, there's only, like, for instance, I end up being a star in the NFL, but I wasn't a superstar. So that's why everybody throws that around too much. Oh, this player, even though he's on your team, oh, he's great. No. There's only, like, Alvin Kamara's great. Everybody else, they can't hold his job. They're just trying to make it. So that's why, Ron, I'm just saying continue. But when you say we got two great quarterbacks, no. Come on. You can't say that.
Well, just being a diehard, I'm just trying to say what we got is great.
Yeah, okay. We got good quarterbacks that could potentially.
My wife is yelling at me right now, Bobby.
Tell her to calm down. We're talking about Saints football. So
right.
Stop it.
I hear her saying it's not real.
It's not real. No, preseason games aren't real. They aren't real until they actually count when we play Arizona. I'd rather us be 0-3. If you can tell me right now, Ron, that we're going to be 0-3 in preseason, but we're going to start out 1-0 against the Cardinals,
sold.
I would take that.
Absolutely.
Look how we felt, Ron, last year when we started out the season 2-0. Now, I know it was a flash in the pan. We beat Carolina and the Cowgirls, and we 2-0. Well, we chant black and gold in the Super Bowl. Think how you felt when those games happened. But we just need to sniff a little bit of that. I mean, I thought that
Clint Kubiak was an angel sent from heaven.
Oh, yeah, Clint Kubiak. But look, it'd be interesting to see. You know, it's all about opportunity. Look how many times I think he has to move his family 4 times in 5 years. He's running Seattle's offense.
Right.
So it'd be interesting to see what the Seahawks do. So what if the Seahawks offense kicks ass? When you say, well, maybe it might have been the Saints personnel. And you know, because, I mean, the Seahawks maybe have better players on offense than the Saints.
Yeah, we'll see how Sam Darnold does over there.
Yeah, exactly. Because you think, like, Sam Darnold, you look at Derek Carr, you know, and all that stuff. So,
Cajun Cannon, we got another one on our line. Want to talk about the QB situation. That's Zay. Zay, what you got for us?
Yes, sir. Bobby, followed you, great quarterback when you played for the Saints. Love you to death, brother. My deal is this right here. The quarterback that I watched today, and I know it's the first preseason game and all that right there, aren't ready. You see the Saints and Mickey Loomis going into and trying to get a more experienced quarterback for us this year, sir?
No, this is what I think. They're going to let them fight it out. And, you know, we want to get younger quarterback and not no veteran. Like you look at the Cardinals, who are going to be playing the first game. They wouldn't get a veteran who started the first 6 games of the Patriots last year, Jacoby Brissett. You know, they have Kyler Murray, who they invested $150 million in. They hope he works out, but they got Jacoby Brissett. They got Clayton Tune, like second, third guy. I know a lot about the Cardinals because my niece is engaged to Clayton Tune, my youngest brother's daughter. And so I know about the Cardinals and the competition and what comes about with that. But when you look at us bringing in a veteran, you know the approach there I think the Saints are going to take? That we're going to try and roll with these guys. And who knows? We don't know how the season's going to unfold. We might be picking high enough when we get the quarterback of the future we want in next year's draft, even though Arch Manning, let's say, is not coming out in the draft. Who knows? I don't know what their record is going to be. So let's say we pick it in the top three. Look how Cam Ward, and they're supposed to have better quarterbacks in the 2026 draft compared to 2025. But look how Cam Ward, if he works out, landed in the Tennessee Titans' lap. Okay, look at two teams that turn around rather quickly, and now he had a sophomore slump. Look at the Texans, how C.J. Stroud landed in their lap. Okay, you look at Jaden Daniels with the Washington Commanders. Wasn't doing anything. They ain't been good forever. He lands in their lap. Look at it turn around. So I'm telling you, you got to be
away from going to the Super Bowl.
You got to be patient. Where even if it doesn't work out, these young quarterbacks, they're not going for this quick fix with a veteran. We'd have to weather the storm. And then if it doesn't work out quite like we like, then who knows? The future Saints quarterback might not even be on the team, or he might be on the team. But they look at Spencer Rattler as being serviceable, a quarterback, but not a guy that could truly be a potential, let's say, poor man right now, C.J. Stroud or Jaden Daniels. They think Shuck might have a chance to do that, but they're going to have to see what happens. But I don't think they think Rattler or Haener would be that guy that, no, this is our future quarterback for years to come.
We're going to take a break here on our point after. Before we do, though, let's pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're here for another hour on the point after, folks. You want to sound off with the Cajun Cannon, voice your concerns, have any questions for him, want to just vent and complain, the WWL Talking text line 504-260-1870. We're stepping away. Be back with even more of the point after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We've been breaking down the Saints' 27-13 loss to the LA Chargers in preseason game number one here on the point after. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, on our talking text line, 504-260-1870. One of our texters, Cajun Cannon, 2077, feels our quarterback race is not close. Tyler's our quarterback. He's better.
Well, I think eventually he will be better, but I just don't know from a confidence standpoint.
If you want to throw him to the wolves right now.
Exactly. I mean, you know, you have different examples how you can go about it. Just let them learn on the fly and be able to handle adversity. But I'd rather my young quarterback not have some adversity that he can avoid. And I look at the perfect example. I looked at that. Wasn't Drake May the future for the Patriots?
And still is, right.
And still is. But who played the first six games? Jacoby Brissett.
Correct.
Okay, and then Jacoby Brissett now is playing with the Cardinals, 10-year veteran, a nice you know, NFL career. I think he was a second-round draft pick out of North Carolina State. Spencer Rattler can have a 10-year career, but it might be more Jacoby Brissett-like. Now, Tyler Shug, I don't know if he's going to be Drake May, but I think he'll have that opportunity. And look how optimistic right now the Patriot fan base is, considering how Drake May finish the season.
Correct.
Aren't they saying like, oh, we might not be the Bills, but we're nipping at their heels. Oh, we're better than the Dolphins. We're better than the Jets. I don't know about the Bills, but we're right there. The Patriots, all of a sudden, they got Vrabel. Oh, we got the coach now. You know, he's Dan Campbell Jr. as far as tough. He's getting in fights on them, like bite them in the kneecaps kind of guy.
Sure.
So they're optimistic. It shows you how quickly things could turn around. And that's where I look at, I'm not discouraged. Let's say, well, Bobby, why did we draft Tyler Shuck so high? He don't even play. Let's say he don't even play in September. You got to look at the big picture. Don't just look, I want now. I want an instant fix. I want that instant gratification. That's not going to be the case, I don't think, with Shuck.
Going to check in with our talk and text line. Sound off 504-260-1870. We got Jimmy and Gretna on the line. Cajun Cannon joining the point after. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. Hey, look, let me say something really quick. Kudos to Bobby Hebert. You know, I was at training camp. It was hot. Everybody's screaming Bobby's name, the Cajun Cannon. They want to get his autograph. I actually had a 1980. It just shows you generationally how important Bobby Hebert is to the Houdat Nation. I had in my back pocket, I had a Bobby Hebert, Topps 86, you know, and I just so had it. Maybe I'd get his autograph or not, you know, but they had a kid next to me. He didn't have that. He was kind of jealous I had the card, right? So I kept showing my card. I'm like, look, dude, I got this Bobby Hebert, man. This thing's worth a lot of money. And the kid's like 10, 11 years old. I'm like, look, dude, I'll give it to you. If you go over there and you show the cojones, you go get the autograph. I don't know if you remember this, Bobby, but that little kid came up and he got it signed. I let him keep the card, and he was really excited about that. It just shows you, you know, you're a little older than me. I'm a little older than him, but the Houdat Nation rides on, and I appreciate what you did for that kid, all right?
Yeah, well, that's the future. It has to be generational, you know, because exactly. They had some Saints fans. Now, think about that, talking about generational, and how you had Sean Payton and Drew Brees like 15, 16 years. And they didn't know anything about the Saints not having a winning product out there. But then it could be cyclical. I mean, it's like, so we got to get the young players still fired up about the team in the future. But we might have to weather the storm. I mean, if anybody, like that's a really that's blinders. That's a real who that thinks all of a sudden we can go from 5 wins to 10 wins and get back in the postseason. That was pie in the sky post Katrina with Sean Payton and Drew Brees did. You want to talk about hitting 7-11 instead of snake eyes, rolling the dice. Drew Brees, we don't know his shoulder's so jacked up. The Dolphins don't pass one to physical. If the Dolphins pass him, maybe Nick Saban never goes back to college and stays with the Dolphins because Drew Brees is his quarterback.
Different timelines, right?
Yeah, the different timelines how things occur. You know, you have a fork in the road. Well, what's going to happen? And what direction are you going to go? So all of a sudden, we 3-13. We are traveling all-stars. We're playing at LSU, playing in San Antonio. We're playing all over. Then that next year, and it's about a turnaround. It was very similar to what, like the Commanders with Jane Daniels. We go from 3-13 to 10-6 in the NFC Championship game. I'm not saying in theory it can't happen, but that's so unrealistic. And you can have hope. There's nothing wrong with having hope. That's why I've said a number of times, look at Las Vegas. When they have the Saints over and under like 5.5, I think that's about right. So that's why I've said if the Saints win 6 or 7 games, that's a good season. Bobby, how can you say it's a good season? That's a losing record. What are we, 6-11 or 7-10?
Baby steps.
Yeah, you have to look at where we're at. So I'm telling you now, if you regress. And,
that's not so good.
You know, if you go from like 5 with only 3 wins, like 3-14 or something, the only you can still look at the glass half full. Well, maybe we can get that better draft pick, or for sure, it's not 100%, but it increase your odds that it could be the franchise quarterback, like a Jane Daniels or whoever it might be. Because I'm telling you, teams take the approach like this, and you have to do this. Look what the 49ers did. Even though he played against the Saints today, Trey Lance. Look where he was drafted. You don't think the 49ers screwed up? Then they got lucky. They got a diamond in the rough in Brock Purdy. So they end up going with that guy. Trey Lance, he's going what, from San Francisco to Dallas, and now he's with the Chargers. He's just trying to make it. You don't know. You know what teams, the approach they take? We're going to keep drafting quarterbacks until we get it right. You might say, oh, no, this is our guy for sure. They thinking Talishuk might be the guy. They think Spencer Rattler, that would really be a long shot. But they look at Talishuk, maybe that increases our odds because, you know, they trust their process. But it might not work out. And nothing to do with whether you're an NFL quarterback or not. I'm talking about to be that franchise quarterback for years to come. The Saints could take the approach that even though you have, let's say, Talishuk, he does all right, and he would lead the team, or Spencer Rattler, the combination, they win 6 or 7 games, and they could still draft a damn quarterback in 2026 if they think that quarterback could be better. You just have to take that approach. That's what NFL teams do, because that quarterback in the NFL right now, that's the difference whether you're having winning teams or not. Look how we were one pick away from getting Pat Mahomes. Andy Reid jumps ahead of Sean Payton and takes Pat Mahomes. We took Lattimore, but we were going to get Patrick Mahomes. Look at the timing and all that happens. So that's what I'm telling you. You might say whether it's Talishuk or Spencer Rattler, they did pretty good, but that's going to be our quarterback for years to come. No. If the Saints think they can find somebody better, they will draft somebody in the upcoming drafts to try and find the next Drew Brees. Now, I don't know if they're going to be a Hall of Famer, like a Pro Football Hall of Famer like Drew Brees, but you're still searching for that.
Preseason game number one in the books, folks. 27-13, the Chargers take down the Saints. We're taking your calls on it on our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Right now, though, taking a break. Be back with more on The Point after on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network after this. Saints Sundays are back, and everybody wants to talk to the Cajun Cannon after a game. And The Point after, we got today the Saints going down 27-13 in their preseason opener to the LA Chargers. You can sound off on the talk and text line, 504-260-1870. One of the texts here, Bobby, watching Spencer Rattler the first half today was so painful. Could you imagine watching that all season? And you talked about that. You expect them to be the starter game one, but not the entire season for this team, unless he's having great success.
Yeah, it's just, Like, it's an opportunity for him. Can he take advantage of that opportunity? I think at times, this has happened a handful, I want to say, off the top of my head, that his pocket presence as far as protecting the ball, as far as fumbling.
Right.
Because a fumble counts in the pocket just like an interception. And so, you know, you got to protect that football. And he was trying to be more careful as far as if you look at it, because yards per attempt was only 4.8 yards. And then Shuck was at 7.5. So he had a long game. Remember at the beginning, I was like, man, that had to be a busted coverage by the Chargers. Remember he gained 21 yards that threw to Cedric Wilson Jr.? Man, he was over by 8 or 10 yards. How? And then Cedric Wilson just raised up his hand.
Yeah, I said I could have thrown it to him.
Yeah, no, that was like junior high open, not even high school open. So you like the tight windows and all, so you got to make those type plays. But no, it's going to be interesting to see because I think, I don't know if it's quick enough for Tyler Shuck to develop, let's say, the Jaguars game, the Broncos game. Because before you know it, the Cardinals game is here. And I just don't know from a confidence standpoint.
Yeah, I get that.
Or like the baby steps that they're going to throw Shuck out there and say, okay. Now, Shuck, he would never tell in public, oh, I want to play. I want to be the guy. He would never say, like, I want to watch for a month and a half, and then I want to come in. That's up to the coaching staff and the organization to take that pressure off of him. So he's not in that position. Now, you're rolling the dice. That maybe Spencer Rattler would be an opportunity for him, that he's not playing so well where, sorry, Shuck, you ain't coming in. Spencer Rattler's kicking ass. But I just don't see that happening for Spencer Rattler. Again, I think he's an NFL quarterback, but more the Jacoby Brissett-like than an actual he's the future of a team.
Checking in on our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Once again, folks, we got Jimmy in Mississippi giving a report card on Kellen Moore. What's up, Jimmy?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes. What you got, Jimmy?
Well, I know we're talking about all the players and what they did and whatever. I got to tell you, I really appreciate Kellen Moore. I watched his decisions today. Well, and I can't really communicate what I'm thinking about all the players, but he can. He knows what's going on. And I thought on the field, everything that, you know, hey, can't remember the exact time, but he made all the right calls, in my opinion. He made all the right calls. I just wanted to see what y'all said.
Well, you made the right calls when you win. You know, and that's what he's going to be judged on as a head coach, because if you don't win as a head coach, it could be like, man, offense we score, but our defense sucks or whatever. It has to be a total, complete, like, team victory, how you last. Okay, Vic Fangio. Can Vic Fangio coach or not?
Hell yeah.
But did he work out as a head coach?
No.
No. But defensive coordinator, like he won the Super Bowl
stud.
With the Eagles. You look at Wade Phillips, bum son.
Right.
Head coach, no. The defensive coordinator,
sure,
yes.
We know well. We'll see what Dennis Allen does in Chicago now.
Watch. I think Dennis Allen's going to have success as D coordinator with the Bears.
Not a head coach, but a defensive coordinator.
And he's back with Darren May, I want to say, and Vrabel brought him there with the Patriots. Then we talk about defensive coordinators, but who's the offensive coordinator?
McDaniels.
Yes, Josh McDaniel.
Right.
What? They go, head coach? No.
Offensive mind, Barnett. Yes.
And just ask Tom Brady what he thinks of Josh McDaniel. You know, so when you look at that, so it'd be interesting to see Kellen Moore, how he handles the team.
Right. There's no doubt we think he's a QB offensive guy, but can he be that head coach?
Yes, because a lot of it could, be, if it bodes well for him in his career, is you don't think he's cheering for Brandon Staley in the defense to kick ass? Because that's going to be a reflection of him also, even though he's an offensive coach. So, yeah, Kellen Moore, now some people might like a passionate coach and ranting and raving, like, you know, Coach Moore, Coach Payton was more like that. Or you could be a stoic coach. like Tom Landry. Look at Tom Landry. He's like a statue for Dallas. Now, this is really old school, but John Madden was more emotional. The bottom line, I don't care if you're stoic or if you're ranting and raving. Well, what do you have to do?
Win. Baby, just win.
If you win, then whatever you're doing is the right formula. You know, because a lot of different ways, you always say to skin a cat how you can win.
Yeah.
How did the players and the team respond to you? So you can't be fake. All of a sudden, Kellen Moore, I need to get more on the players and all that. The players are looking at him, man, where did this come from? That's not your personality. So I couldn't be stoic. And whether I'm coaching Little League, whatever, I'm like, I'm being demanding because that's just your personality. You're keeping it real, and you can't fake the funk. I mean, the players will look right through you, especially man-to-man at the NFL level.
Taking a break here on The Point After. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon on our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Saints fall into the Chargers, 27-13 in the preseason opener. We'll be back with even more, though, right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Saints fall in their preseason opener 27-13 to the L.A. Chargers. They'll be back in action a week from today at home, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're going to go back to our talk and text line where you can sound off, 504-260-1870. We got Mike in Atlanta wanting to sound off. What you got for us tonight, Mike?
What's up, fella? What's up, Steve? No, Bobby? Hey, look.
All right, Mike.
People fear to realize in 2006, Sean Payton came on board. That was his starting debut at head coach, right?
Right,
but
right.
Sean Payton went one and three in preseason. Understand me? Listen to what I'm saying. So we got to be patient with Kellen Moore. I'm talking about the Saints podcasters, the Saints fans, and everybody. Give this man a chance to do what he got to do with that playbook. Because you don't know, we didn't know what Sean Payton was going to do in 2006, right? And we did it. He went all the way to
the NFC Championship against the Bears, 10-6.
Right, so let's give Kellen Moore a chance to do his thing on the field. That's preseason. He can go 0-3 for all I care for. But I'm telling you, during game one or game two, watch how you start calling that playbook. So I'm going to hang up and listen to y'all say something. Okay?
Well, Mike, real quick, what you doing over there in Dirty Bird Country?
Oh man, I've been there since '88, man. Oh, I'm a Saints fan.
Oh, Saints. So you in the ATL before Katrina? You know, because a lot of people are displaced. Yeah. So '88, yeah. So that's old school. But hey, the who that?
Yeah.
Hey, listen,
Hey, Bobby, I didn't retire, man. I didn't retire this year, bro.
Okay.
I came here 25 years old. I'm 62 years old, man. I'm an older guy now.
Well, Mike, I tell you what, that's the one thing. Patience is a virtue. I don't know how many football fans have patience, have that virtue, because they want
just
instant
society
things.
Society in general.
Yeah, about anything, whatever it might be.
Now
the instant fix and I'm telling you, all the football I've witnessed, the coaches I've been around. That again, you got to win. Kellen Moore is going to coach for 25, 30 years plus in the NFL.
You've consistently said you feel the Saints have the right guy in place.
Yes, and he's the youngest NFL coach. He got wisdom beyond his years. What, he's 36 years old?
Correct.
No, it's amazing the wisdom that he has. Now, if you're a head coach, you got to win. But as far as having a job, listen, Kellen Moore is a professional NFL coach for the rest of his life when he wants to retire. So I don't know if it's going to work out as a head coach because you have to win.
But in some aspect of football, right?
Yes, he'll be somebody other, offensive coordinator. Simply when you put skins on the wall, he was the offensive coordinator play caller for the world champ Philadelphia Eagles. Now, that doesn't go away.
Ever.
That's still on your resume. So, and it could be like, well, it didn't work out. And I'm looking at long term. It didn't work out with the Saints as a head coach. That don't mean he'll never have another opportunity as a head coach. You have, look at Wade Phillips. I mean, I want to say Dallas, the Buffalo Bills. You can have more than one opportunity now to say you'll have three or four. No, that's not the case. But as far as coaching, Kellen Moore knows what the hell he's doing. My greatest coach I ever had, as far as wisdom, knowing the game, like June Jones. Now, June Jones, he never showed any emotion, but I always thought, because how you dealing with players, that he was a better college coach, because they would tell him, yes, sir, no, sir, and all that, out of respect, when he was at University of Hawaii, SMU, and all that, how he turned those programs around. But as far as the NFL, sometimes, I don't know, when an NFL level, if you don't have a good player, you can't check their heart. They might try and take advantage of a coach that maybe doesn't get on the players and demand stuff. You know, like, okay, why can't we all be men and be pros? But not all individuals are like that. Well, what motivates you? So that's why I still got to wait about Kellen Moore when he has adversity and how he's going to respond to get the leaders of the team to be thinking on the same wavelength as him to get the players motivated to ultimately win the game. Or if they don't buy into your message, then they need another message. So I don't know, but I'd be surprised if Kellen Moore don't work out, but I am not surprised that he's a lifer. He's an NFL lifer as a coach because I know he knows what he's doing.
Saints lose 27-13 to the LA Chargers in preseason opener. We'll be back with more of The Point After. Stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to The Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. You can sound off on our talk and text line 504-260-1870 to interact with the Cajun Cannon. And speaking of the Cannon, what's bugging Bobby about today's game? That's brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. Obviously, a loss is bugging you, Cajun Cannon, but I got to imagine either penalties or turnovers,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or even the run game. Yeah. I mean, there's a few things that I can imagine are bugging you.
Well, penalties, we bounce back the second half. So
not so much.
Yeah, not so much. Now, this has to change. Because I can tell you right now, if this doesn't change, we're in the minus category. No, it'll be hard for us to win games. You can't be minus two in the turnover margin. Last year, we ended up being minus six. And we were 5-12. The Chargers were 11-6, and they were plus 12. So minus 6, plus 12. So today we were a minus 2. I don't care if you're fumbling the ball.
Not winning football.
Yeah, it's not winning football. And so I couldn't really pick one. That's bugging me. And then also still how this team is structured. Okay, to help our young quarterbacks, we have to be able to run the ball. We can't be averaging 3 yards a run. Now, the one thing with Alvin Kamara, I think it's more than just what he averages per carry running it. You have to look at the pass receiving game and look at his total yards from scrimmage, their contribution. Like Taysom Hill, I don't know if Taysom Hill is going to come back, but like that's off the chart. Taysom Hill averaging over 7 yards a carry. But we gave up today 4.5 yards a run. So we are one before last against the run last year. We're only better than Carolina. And look at yards per attempt. Carolina gave up like over 5 yards a carry. We gave up like 4.9. Well, Bobby, we've gotten better. We're now we only like 4.4 instead of 4.9. No. And you're playing a team like the Chargers, and they end up having 148 yards rushing because they could set the tone. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see when we play the 49ers or even the Cardinals. I can tell you right now, we better pack a lunch because the Cardinals, they're going to try and help out Kyler Murray, even though, you know, I think Kyler Murray can work magic with his feet and all.
Sure.
Watch the Cardinals.
James Conner.
And watch the 49ers when we kick it off the season. When they have Brock Purdy paid him big bucks. But watch how many times they're attempting to run the ball. I'd be shocked if they don't have it very similar to what Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers have, like 34, 35 rushing attempts at least when the game's all said and done. So until we can show that, now we stuff in the run and we can run the ball, that's going to be bugging me.
That's what's bugging Bobby about today's game, brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. We're going to take a break here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Be back with even more of The Point After right after this. Stay tuned. As to be expected, a mixed bag in the preseason opener for the Saints. They end up falling 27-13 to the Chargers in L.A. Next time in action, they'll be back in the Caesars Superdome a week from today, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's a noon kickoff.
Yeah, a noon kickoff. Usually we'd play all these Friday or Saturday games. Now we got two Sunday back-to-back kickoffs. That's never really happened in preseason. Now we're going to close out a short week on the Saturday against Sean Payton and the Broncos before we get ready for the regular season against the Cardinals. Now, I wanted to acknowledge this because, Steve, you know I always like history and what occurred on this date. And I'm going to mention this first.
Today in history.
August 10th. Today in Saints history.
There you go.
We were 5-5. Now we're 5-6 on August the 10th. But more importantly, do you know, recent Saints history? This is recent. This is 40 years. Tom Benson, when he bought the team in 1985, and Tom Benson's ownership tenure on this date, August the 10th, was the team's first win. You know, you give the owner the game ball or the coach, whatever. Even though it's a preseason game, but it's still a win. Mr. Benson didn't know any better. He's
so
like,
said 1985?
1985.
Okay.
August the 10th in Foxborough, Massachusetts, against the Patriots. This was Tom Benson's first win as the owner.
Cool.
So he got a game ball. And, you know, Mr. Benson just learning about football and all that. Even I made this statement at the time. Why don't we practice? Why do we have two different costumes? You know, like not uniforms, why did costumes? You know, he didn't understand offense and defense. So, you know, he kept.
To differentiate, yeah.
And you got to give Mr. Benson credit. He kept the Saints in New Orleans. And Governor Edwards was involved in that. The Saints were going to Jacksonville. This is way before the Jaguars. It was going to be the Jacksonville Saints. And Mr. Benson, Governor Edwards got involved. They got with John Meekham to keep the team in New Orleans. And now the NFL is glad that happened because the Gulf South region. You know, you look at from Birmingham to the Florida Panhandle all the way to Beaumont, Texas. That's all kind of like.
No, this city is not the same without the Saints, man.
Right. And so, Mr. Benson, there's a big part of that. And it all started in 1985, August the 10th, on this day where he got his first victory as an owner and his tenure. And that was against the Patriots on August 10th. I just had to mention that because
a little factoid from the Cajun Cannon.
A little factoid, yeah. What happened on this day in 1985, August 10th? Mr. Benson's first win as a Saints owner.
Nice. Checking in on our talk and text line, Bobby. We got Pat in Mississippi on the line. Wants to talk about the QB situation. Pat, welcome into The Point After. How's it going?
Hey guys, it's going well. This is Pat from Poplarville, and I wanted to talk about the quarterback situation. You know, I'm not sold on the Rat Man or Tyler Oystershucker. I just think that they're too young and don't have the experience
Right.
And I just don't see them. But I want to mention a quarterback who I think, if I understand correctly, will be playing against the Saints next weekend, and he's still relatively young, and whenever he starts, he seems to win some games, and that's former Southern Miss quarterback Nick Mullins. I think he really deserves a shot in the league as a starter, and, you know, I think...
Well, Pat, I don't know enough. You could educate me on more Nick Mullins' history, but... hasn't he had two or three opportunities? I want to say, when he went to Vikings, Steve, look at, right quick, Nick Mullins, the teams he's been on.
Niners, Browns, Vikings.
Okay, Niners, Browns, Vikings, and you say now the Jags. So you think all those teams missed on Mr. Mullins? I mean, come on, Pat. He's had opportunity. No, he's an NFL quarterback, but again.
Been around since 2018.
Yes, more like the Jacoby Brissett-like. Not necessarily that franchise starter. Pat, how can you combat that when you look at, are all these other teams wrong that they didn't give Nick Mullins a chance, or what? What's your take on that?
Well, my take on it is I think in some cases, and I could be wrong about this, but I think in some cases he didn't have the talent surrounded around him. You know, it takes you know, other players.
I agree.
Personnel.
Yeah, the personnel, that does matter around you, but if you're usually playing and it's three teams or more, you've had situations where you've had good enough personnel. And again, everybody wants their favorite local prospect. I remember him, watching him, whether in Little League or, you know, Pop Warner or college football, high school, whatever. I thought he was, for sure, he's a slam dunk and that he's going to work out. No, what do you call working out? I call working out even if you like Chase Daniel. I mean, all of a sudden, he's the University of Missouri quarterback. I want to say he was all Big 12. I don't think he started two handfuls a game. He played maybe seven or eight, but he made over $40 million. Don't you want to support your family and do the best you could do? What Nick Mullins needs to do right now is career. I know you might want him to be the man. I even advise Clayton Tune this. Because he's getting ready. He's engaged to my niece. He's going into his third year with the Cardinals.
Be one of 64.
Be one of 64. You might have to be like a military brat and move, but you just got to make it. You got to convince that organization that I'm given the opportunity, I will help us win, or I will bring stability and not going to be all freaking out. Because what better way to make a living? For instance, right now, don't we love Will Clapp? Okay, here's Will Clapp, local product, Brother Martin, played at LSU. Look where he's been. Okay, like Saints, Chargers, Bills, come back to the Saints. Boy, you hope his injury isn't too serious.
Right.
But if he's hurt, he's hurt. That's a part of football. But
he knows his role as a rotational piece.
Yes, and are you really going to feel sorry for him? I don't know. How would you like to get hurt at work and you're getting paid $1.3 million? And then if you discipline and you rehab, then you live to fight another day or another year next season. But you're just trying to weather the storm and last. Well, you got a great start to life if you could play 10 years in the NFL. Look, I held off. I'm getting ready to get my pension. August 19, I turned 65. I held off. So I look all those years of service and everything. I thank God today, every night, that the NFL was so popular, and it's must-see TV, and I was able to be a part of that. That's why you got to look at the big picture, and not everybody always got to be, I got to be the man. No, you want to be the man, and you have to take advantage of opportunity. But football is the ultimate team game, and it's not like golf or tennis, you know, where if you don't win, just look in the mirror. Because a lot of things, like Nick Mullins, hey, it could be maybe when in the right circumstance. But look at the glass half full instead of half empty. Look at your opportunity in Jacksonville and just try and last and just parlay that into a bright future, because you can be in your mid-30s and just say, life's not over, but what you could do the rest of your life? What is your interest? What are you involved in? So that's how you have to look at football. Everybody would love to be Pat Mahomes. Everybody would love to be like a Tom Brady. Come on. Or like a Jayden Daniels, where he's at right now. I don't think he will, but will he have a sophomore slump?
We shall see.
That's what's intriguing. Did anyone really think C.J. Stroud? He was unbelievable with the Texans first year. Kind of sophomore slump. How is he going to bounce back? We intrigued with that. Same thing with Jayden Daniels. What's going to happen with him? It's going to be back-to-back. He continues to be more like Pat Mahomes-like. Who's a guy that didn't play enough games? And look what they invested in him in the draft. The damn quarterback from Florida with the Colts. Isn't he hurt already? What's his name?
Anthony Richardson.
Richardson. Look at that cat.
Now they have Daniel Jones.
So they're leaning on Daniel Jones. So it's all right place, right time. You take advantage of it. You just don't know. So that's why all you Southern Miss Mississippi fans who love Nick Mullins, just look, he has a great opportunity. And they say, if he never turns out to be a franchise quarterback, oh, he got screwed in the NFL. No, he didn't. He only played 4, 5, 6 different teams. No, he made a great living, and he is a pro. He's a pro, and he's a very, like Jacoby Brissett's a pro. He's lasted 10 years. So you have to, everybody can't be the man. They might want to be the man, but not everybody's going to be the man.
It's pretty nice to be on an NFL roster, though, like you mentioned, and collect that check.
You're trying to support your family. Well, what do you go to college for or go to school? Okay, you get educated. Now, it might change in the future at all, get AI and all that stuff. But what do you do? To get educated so you have a better job. So you get a better job so you can support your family. Or to learn a trade. Look how you got to pay a damn plumber. Somebody can fix your air conditioner and all that. You know, not everybody's made out to go to college. Learn how to fix air conditioner or be a plumber. Did they pay those
life
guys
lessons
well?
Lessons here on the point
no,
after
no,
the
they pay those
cannon.
Guys well. I mean, that's why, look what you can do to, how I bet you could support your family. And the NFL gives you a great opportunity to support your family at the utmost, even though you might not be the man.
We're taking a break here on The Point after the Saints lose 27-13 in their opener of the preseason to the LA Chargers. We'll be back with more on The Point after, so stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Been rocking and rolling here on The Point after the Saints fall to the LA Chargers, 27-13 in the preseason opener. Before we get ready to wrap things up, though, I want to take a break and pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Going back to our talking text line real quick, I want to get in Jimmy from Westwego. You've been hanging on. You're our last caller on The Point after tonight, Jimmy. What you got for us?
Guys, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to be real quick. I thought Simpkins, the center, third-string center, coming in on three quarterbacks, taking basically most of the snaps today, was excellent. And also, what about this virtual first down thing? I have high school chain gang guys that can move faster than they did on that spot in the ball. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see the whole chain gang controversy. But that's another one to look forward to. That could be a diamond in the rough, Steve. You talk about Simpkins. Here's a 6'5", 315-pound rookie out of South Carolina. You know, guard, center guard. Now, he was competing, Will Clapp and all the competition. And then you look at Shane LeMoux, who's all coming in.
Right.
So here's a young guy who could come out of nowhere who was not even drafted. You know how you said, all the name tags, whether you're drafted or you're a free agent. He was very similar to, getting opportunity. Simpkins the third. I don't want to butcher his first name.
Torricelli.
Simpkins the third. Out of rookie out of South Carolina. No, guard, center guard. Now, it'd be interesting to see what he's going to do as far as the film he's going to put out there against the Jags and the Broncos. Now, he was hurt. Steve, did he get hurt at practice? Who's another rookie who was a free agent. And we took Jasheen Davis, the rookie out of Wake Forest.
Yeah, he wasn't playing today.
Yeah, when did he get hurt? I they don't have to do an injury report.
Like you mentioned, taking notes, we take a bunch of Jasheen's names and
number
down.
Yeah, it was in New Orleans. And we go to California, all of a sudden he's not available. So when you get, they don't have to give you an injury report.
Cajun Cannon, you'll be back at this tomorrow with Mike Dottiglia at the Silver Slipper Casino for Second Guess. Say goodnight to all the Hoodats as we get ready for now our first edition of The Point After in the books.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Hoodat. Go Saints.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.